Tom Gazzola, pre- and post-game host here on TSN 1260. And I guess let's start, first of all, gentlemen, with John Tortorella's post-game presser last night. I know today came out and said, oh, you know, he backpedaled because, you know, I'm sure the NHL said, hey, John, we don't like any truthfulness around here. what did you make of the whole situation?
I loved it, Greg. I absolutely loved it. It's not often that I agree with John Tortorella, but twice I found myself being like, yeah, Torts, I agree with you. One of them was the 3-on-3 OT, making it 10 minutes long and extending it till someone scores finally instead of going to the shootout. I'm completely on board with that because I love the 3-on-3, and it seems to get done most often than not. And then yesterday, you know what, Greg, especially after that game in Vancouver just over a week ago, and not that I like to harp on the refs that much, and I try to keep it out of the post-game show, but Oilers fans are passionate, and they like to vent their frustrations, and a lot of times they brought up the officiating, and I always like to say, hey, all right, like watch an out-of-market game, and you're going to see the same level of officiating. You're going to have a couple of head-scratchers almost every game, doesn't matter which teams are playing. And it came to fruition last night that Tortorella finally blew a gasket and got mad, and it cost his team the goalie, and it cost his team another point. They should have had a win last night. The timekeeper screwing up with the clock when an extra second was taken off when it should have been replaced. Completely valid arguments, and in true John Tortorella fashion, he goes off on the league, and Colin Campbell comes out and says, oh, that's unacceptable and this and that, whatever. But I find it refreshing and one of the few times in my career that I've actually been like, you know what, John, I agree with you.
You know what's funny is I've seen him lose his mind a lot of times. I didn't think he was actually even that mad last night.
Do you think it was for show, too? Because I think he likes
I don't think it was for show, but I genuinely believe he was mad, but like I didn't think he was actually like that outlandish. Like, yeah, he called out some of the decisions that were made by the officials. But, you know, he kind of, what was it, like a 50 seconds? And he said, I'm out of here. I'm not answering any questions. And he walked out. And, you know, I think it's being blown out of proportion, like his reaction to it. I actually didn't think it was really that big a deal.
And from a reporter's standpoint, Greg, you can certainly attest to this. Like, even though that was only 45 seconds, 50 seconds, like Strutty said, that is gold. You could chew on that on a post-game show for like at least two segments because of what he gave you on that. And you're right, Strutty. Like, are we getting that sensitive even in sports where we can't let a guy go off on a tangent and be like, you know what? We could chew on it and without going, oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that, and that is totally unprofessional. Like, can we finally agree that it's getting way too sensitive, especially when it comes to sports?
Yeah, I agree. And to piggyback on that, as we're joined by Tom Gazzola, otherwise known as Tiny Tom's Tidy Tidbits, working our way through the world of sports with him. Googs, the situation happened Saturday with the Russian and Canadian team when the captain of the Team Canada junior team didn't take his helmet off during the Russian national anthem. You know, I absolutely loved it. I want to see that. I know what? I don't want to give him too much credit, but I wonder if he wasn't trying to just shift the conversation how they got pounded by the Russians, and that became the story. I'm probably giving him too much credit, but I love that he, you know, it may have been, you know, by accident, but it stirs it up and brings a little bit of emotion to this tournament. Now when the Russians in Canada, you know, we hope they meet again, we're going to see a lot of emotion in that game, not just for the win, but just national pride. Like, I thought it was that whether it's planned or not, intentional or not, I love that kind of intensity. Where do you come on that, Googs?
Well, that's an interesting one, too, because when Barrett Hayton did that in the for the anthem postgame, it brought up a lot of question marks. And my initial reaction was like, oh man, like just try to take the high road. That was initially my thought. And then you look into it some more and you go, okay, well, you know, you take the high road, you try to give some respect back to the opposing team. And when they play their anthem, you know, you want to be respectful. I get that. And that's kind of where I was coming from. But then you go, well, they just got killed in that game, embarrassed, matter of frankly. And then, yeah, you're right. Maybe he wants to deflect some of the attention from the team itself and the performance onto him. So maybe he did do it on purpose. And then on top of that, it's like, why are we doing the anthems post-game in International Ice Hockey Federation rules and regulations? It brings up that question as well. And then thirdly, it's like, you know what? Yeah, he put out his statement, and guess what? Whether or not it was intentional, unintentional, semi-intentional, I'm sure he's going to learn from it and move on. And the fact that people are like, ah, strip him of the C, this is absolutely ridiculous. This isn't representing Canada and Hockey Canada type of young men and women we're trying to develop and grow in the sport. Like, get out of here with that. That's hogwash. Like, I don't like that whole mentality. It's like we can't sit in the middle and find a common ground or middle ground. It has to be one extreme or another, especially with the social justice warrior and that crowd. So, I mean, I'm fine. He's probably going to learn. He's 19 years old. Like, just let's move on. Yeah, was it great? Did it look good for Team Canada? No. But I like your point about maybe he's deflecting.
Well, if he's doing that, great. I don't like it. Find other ways to do it. You just got your ass handed to you. To me, there's certain times to be respectful. That's one of them. And if I was the head coach, the unreasonable punishment, I'll strip him of a captaincy kick. Give me a break. You could
ridiculous.
Do what you could do what every coach does when a player isn't performing well or makes a dumb decision on the ice. You can bench him for a short period of time. You could have benched him for the first 10 minutes of today's game against Germany. It's Germany, right? You could have made it look like you were sending a message, but really it wouldn't have really hurt your team because it's like, hey, guys, you know what? I'm all about gamesmanship during the games. Now, I'm also one. I don't want anthems before games. I see no need to have it in the NHL. I see no need to have it in the NBA. I see no need to have it in the NFL. At that event where it's all players from your country, it makes sense. But in the NHL, you have a bunch of Finns and Swedes and Americans and Germans and whoever else. The anthem doesn't fit, in my opinion. But at least I understand playing it. But I think at that moment, you should say, hey, what, we got to be respectful.
Right. And that's initially why I was like, just take the high road, take off your helmet. But then you think of those other factors. And then how about this one? This one kind of crept into my mind, too. The Russians, obviously, they've been banned from international competition for continuously doping. And listen, I don't know if they're doing it with their junior hockey players, but maybe it has something to do with that to a certain extent. I don't know what Barrett Hayes is thinking in that point, but you know, you want to talk about fair play, and Russians in general haven't been abiding by fair play for decades. So I don't know how much that came into the mix, but I kind of thought about that as well.
Joined by Tom Gazzola, breaking down the world of sports. That's shifted now here. Yamamoto got the call. They put a symbol up in the clouds last night, I guess, and he comes in. Well, what would you expect from young Yamamoto?
First of all, a little bit more than what we saw when he got the call and made the teams out of camp the 2 years prior to this year. I think it's fair to say, you know, he's got a couple of years of pro under his belt now, or a year and a half fully of a pro. I know he's been hurt a while, but this year with the wrist injury kind of hampering him through training camp, we didn't really get a look at him in any preseason games, and then they sent him to Bakersfield, rightly so. Decent numbers, Strutty, 16 points, 8 goals, 8 assists through 23 games, and Dave Tippett said it today, he's liked his overall game, he's drawing a lot of penalties, playing a lot of minutes. Maybe a little bit more of a spark and a little pop into the lineup, into the middle six, could be worth expecting from him, considering he's a little bit older. I'm curious to see. I mean, is it too early to bring him up? I don't know. At this point, I think we're at the point now with this team struggling the way it has, just 4 wins in December, that you want to just try anything to get the needle moving back in the right direction. And it doesn't mean you have to stick with him for the rest of the season. Give him a look. See if he can add a little element that you don't have, balance things out. If he doesn't, send him back down. It's a pretty straightforward approach, in my opinion.
Well, seeing where he was paired on the line with Draisaitl and Nygaard, you know, I wonder with Draisaitl, I think he was overused to start the year, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of that the last few weeks with him trying to just recover on the fly. But putting Yamamoto and Nygaard, those are two guys that play an up-tempo game. And I think that might be part of the thought process to get, you know, kind of Leon jumping again and skating again with two guys that can, you know, obviously Nygaard's a fast on the line, but Yamamoto is very quick and will get into the puck and he can also make plays. So that's an interesting line to see. Not a lot of NHL experience on the wings, but, you know, in theory, that's maybe what he's thinking. And when I say that, I mean, Dave Tippett.
Yeah, and the other thing with Yamamoto, too, is, like, even for a younger pro player, he doesn't necessarily cut corners in his game. He's been used on the penalty kill in the past. I know Todd McClellan would throw him out there every now and then. And he's not one of those guys that seems to be sacrificing defensive play, systematic play for offense just to try to bolster his numbers, especially down at the AHL level, to make sure that he's catching the attention of you know, Dave Tippett and the scouting staff to get him up to Edmonton as soon as possible. It sounds like he's trying to develop his entire 200-foot game to a certain extent. And at this point in time, with Dreisaitl's numbers, I know, you know, how much stock you want to put into plus-minus, that's fine. But in his last 16 games, minus 25 is pretty alarming, whether you like plus-minus or not. And maybe Yamamoto stays, you know, reasonably sound defensively at the NHL level and you know, eliminates some of that cheating and cutting corners that it could possibly help Leon get back to being a plus player or even an even player, which has only happened once in these last 16 games. So if they can find a way to get back to playing good systematic hockey the way that they were getting success in the first 2 months of the season, maybe this addition with Yamamoto plus the group that has been able to get them into the top of the Pacific Division standings could still, you know, find it within themselves to figure out how they were doing it at the start of the season at this point. I mean, there's still 41 games to go here.
Well, there's half a season. There's ample time. And I understand that people are frustrated because they've been through this movie time and time again. But the difference is I don't believe the Oilers are as bad as they've been in years past, and I don't believe the other teams in the Pacific are as good. Vegas isn't as good as they were last year or the year before. Calgary's got some weaknesses. You know, Vancouver is probably a little bit more improved than they were last season, but you know, they're still far from a great team. They're 2 weeks away from their coach freaking out, you know, and having a meltdown. So I think that just shows where the Pacific Division is. But the reality is for the Oilers, the slump has to end. They've got they've had two good days of practice. They had a fun day at the All-Star, skills competition. They have to get going tomorrow. They can't keep, well, geez, get on the road trip. Because to me, they've got to find a way to get some positivity in their team and get some confidence back. And they just got to work harder at 5-on-5 and work smarter because they've been killing themselves with horrible mental errors.
Oh, and how many times have we seen bad pinches lead to odd man rushes and the pucks in their own net? The penalty kill has had its struggles. I know the power play has been good this year, but even at times you sit there and you watch a couple of the power plays, you're like, did they even get a shot on that one? And all those things, all those pillars of their game that were rock solid, and throw goaltending into the mix as well, that got them to where they were, has been pretty spotty of late. And you know what? I don't think it's unreasonable to think that they are capable of finding it again. And then add into the fact that just 9 games this month coming up, maybe the added practice time will help them, maybe the added rest will help them. I don't know how much, you know, there's the physical wear and tear of a season, and then there's the mental wear and tear. And again, Jason Strudwick, you could probably attest to this. Like, I feel like if you have those days where you know you don't have to get up just to go to the rink, maybe you have one or two extra completely days off, that helps ease and alleviate some of the stress on your mind, and you can get away from the game, and those brief respites might also contribute to some positivity success-wise as well. So maybe that this slowed down portion of the schedule also has some benefit to them.
Yeah, when I look at it, I think these practice days are huge, and I think that we'll see a tightening up of their overall play because there's not a lot of practice time. To have two full practice days is pretty impressive.
Yeah, Tommy, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
Anytime, boys.